Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name
football,
of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? He's got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss the cream the pretty. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love the podcast too.
That is right. Jeremy here hanging out with Chris this evening. It's been about a week since we had the show. Everybody, remember, we're at MWCConnection.com, MWCConnection on Twitter, Facebook. So, Chris, it's been about a week and a half. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Just all right?
Can't complain too much.
Can't complain too much. That's always good to hear. And this evening, we're talking spring football starts next week, man.
I know. It's kind of hard to believe.
Are you excited about it?
I am.
Football.
But it is football, but it's football that we tend to pay less attention to because, neither one of you are San Jose State people, even though we do cover it on the website. And B, it's not a team that I'm particularly, attached to. However, it is a sign that football is coming. And it kind of, guides us away from the spring training of professional baseball and the nothingness that's going on in the rest of sports, although there's, hockey and some Olympics going.
Olympics. What's your favorite? Because we'll have a guest on in the moment with Jimmy Durk and the San Jose Mercury News. But the Olympics, are you watching the Olympics at all? I mean, legitimately, not just screwing around and watching the funny stuff, like John Boyce pretending he's in Sochi.
No. I've watched some few events in full. I mean, I've watched, some full curling matches at 1 in the morning when I can't sleep.
Of course. Excellent.
Caught the awesome USA-Russia match.
I did miss that, but curling and hockey I look into a little bit. I like the half-pipe snowboarding, but I just like the fun stuff. People getting trapped in elevators, that type of stuff. But, it is spring football. Like I said, spring football's coming. There's some distractions with college basketball gearing up to March, and hopefully, cross our fingers, you and me will be down there for the tournament.
Yeah, as well as a few other guys.
Yeah, there could be a few other guys. We'll meet up perhaps. We'll figure a few things out. But today, it's talking San Jose State football. So, mentioned, we'll bring in our guest. Looks like he's right here with Jimmy Durkin from the San Jose Mercury News. So, let's just bring him on, and we'll just jump right in.
Is this the second time or the third time that Jimmy's been on?
I think the second time. We had him on during the season preview. So, Jimmy, hanging out, you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. Glad to – I believe this is the second time on our show. Is that correct, I believe?
I think so. That sounds about right.
We'll just say two if that works.
Yeah.
We don't need to keep track.
We're keeping track of actual popular people that come on our show that's not just us BSing the whole time.
That's what we do. Yeah, get people to know what they're doing, so – we'll get to spring football, which is pretty early, but I want to, backtrack a little bit. There's some decent news that's happened with the Spartans really quick with their, not to go too back into recruiting, but I remember they brought in Rod Carriger because he's a local guy, getting a lot of California, Northern, Central California guys. Last year, there were some questionable things. For this year, 17 of 18 came from California. I assume that's by design, by getting players who were, because California is a populous state for good athletes and talent for high school. Is that usually going to be the goal every year? This year they just focused on it more because last year it seemed they didn't like what was going on too much.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, it's always going to be most of the focus is California. I mean, for one, when you're in a state like California, you really don't have to go out of state. You know, and then there's the natural additional cost when you bring in a kid that's out of state. You know, you've got to, you know, his scholarship costs more. And so they, you know, simple economics there that, you know, if you don't have to pay the out-of-state tuition for an out-of-state kid, and if you're in California when you got enough talent, that's pretty much always where they're going to focus most of their effort on. I mean, they usually grab a couple of kids out of Arizona. They've, especially with so many Washington ties now on their staff, they've, you know, they brought in one or two last year, and they looked at a couple guys up there this year, and when they did have Jim Jeffcoat on staff, they recruited Texas a little bit, and so they'll look a little bit other places. But for the most part, you know, there's not much of a need to leave California, so they stick there and keep the in-state tuition down a little bit.
Is that really a concern to spend less money because kids are in-state? Is there that much money they're worried about?
I don't know how huge of a concern is if it's an impactful player. But I mean, you're not going to bring in a guy that you don't think is going to eventually be a starter. And I think that's kind of the mindset is, if the guy can be an impact player, you know, you saw they brought in their kicker Austin Lopez as a Texas guy. Mm-hmm. They brought in some linemen. They brought in wide receiver Michael Tate last year. Guys that they figure can make an impact. You know, they're not going to worry about it. But if it's a guy that you just kind of like, and, you know, and maybe he can work his way into being a backup special teamer, they're probably not going to bother to go with the additional cost of out of state. And that's, you know, just kind of a, you know, and hopefully they can eventually get their budget to a situation where they don't have to worry about that. But, you know, they're not a program that brings in a lot of money. So at this point, they do have to concern themselves a little bit, at least, with those kinds of things.
Interesting.
So who was the best player from the San Jose State class this year? I mean, is it somebody who's going to be able to step in David Fales' shoe or Noah Grigsby's shoes? Or is it somebody that we've never heard of before that's just automatically going to make an impact?
I think the best thing is that we probably don't quite know. I mean, the guy who looks like he can step right in and be a defensive starter next year is Victor Vernon, the defensive lineman at a nearby De Anza College. He's originally a kid from Chicago, and I mean, the guy just looks like a freak of nature. He just looks like, you know, big, strong, powerful guy that, you know, whatever defense they end up running, and we still don't know that at this point, looks like he can be a defensive end, defensive tackle, whatever, and step right in and help them, a kind of guy that would have loved to have had last year. But, you know, there's guys like Maurice McKnight, three-star defensive back who enrolled early, you know, graduated high school early and is already enrolled. He'll be joining them for spring practice when they get going on Friday. There's a couple wide receivers that look good. So it's really, you know, we don't quite know who's going to end up being the best. You know, last year you knew, looking at their class, it was probably either going to be Tyler Winston, Brandon Monroe were the two guys that looked like the best parts of their class, and Winston obviously ended up being the Mountain West Freshman of the Year. Here they've got, you know, enough good guys that could end up developing and a few guys that they could end up switching on different sides of the ball or whatever. But right now, Maurice McKnight, especially because they have a hole there in the defensive backfield they need to fill, he's got a good chance to come right in and be an impactful player. And then, you know, Victor Vernon on the defensive line. But they've got a couple good receivers, and, you know, they brought in a lot of guys that you know, maybe in a year or two can be big for them.
Okay, yeah, it's just still more of a crapshoot, but we know kind of who can be good or not, but just kind of curious what your thoughts are of who they would be, who could be the next whatever, you know, they say next great player. But you mentioned a defensive player, because there's an interesting hire. Was there any shock when Kenwick Thompson just left to go to Vanderbilt? Was that just because he was close to, like, Derek Mason there, the head coach now? Is that a reason why he just left? Because taking the light, your defensive coordinator, it was his first ever, if I'm correct, at the FBS level.
Yeah.
Takes a step down to position coach at a high BCS SEC school. What was the? Do you know any reason behind he took that?
I would imagine. I think it's probably just you know, relationship there with Derek Mason. I know, you know, he was pretty close with a few guys on that Stanford staff. I mean, David Shaw, always praised him whenever he had a chance. He thought the world of him. Actually, tried to was the guy who you know, McDavid had offered Kenwick the defensive coordinator job originally when Harbaugh and Fangio and all those guys left for the Niners. And so, you know, I think he had been probably pretty close with Mason. You know, last year was not a great year defensively. I mean, I don't know that how much of that you pin on Kenwick. I mean, I think their personnel needed some improvements, and you know, their switch to the 3-4 didn't work out very well. But you know, they didn't play very well on that side of the ball last year, and you know, it for him, I'm sure it's, you know, probably more money. I think D coordinator at San Jose State makes about 125, and you know, probably he going to the SEC as a position coach. Probably going to be an increase there, and he's, you know, he's a Houston guy, so he's a good recruiter, was a recruiting coordinator at Cal for quite a while. So I mean, I think for Vanderbilt, they're probably looking at a guy that they can bring in and give them more recruiting in California, more recruiting in Texas, and you know, probably were able to pay him you know, better than he was making as a defensive coordinator.
Money, that's all it is usually. A lot of money.
Yeah.
So speaking of defensive coordinators, it seems like you guys picked up a pretty good one here in the offseason. For those of you who know, Greg Robinson is now signed on to join San Jose State as defensive coordinator. And a little bit of Greg Robinson's, you know, background. Great defensive coordinator at, what was it, at Texas. And then
great.
Took
you're
going to
go with great on that?
Huh?
You're going to go with great on that?
Oh, he won he helped Texas win the national championship 2005.
Okay, I'll go with you there, I guess.
Okay, it was a good stint, and then he went to Syracuse, and then just, you know, as a head coach, and that didn't work too well. And then I forgot where the next place he was, but then he went back to
Texas. 2 years at Michigan.
Yeah. That's right. He ended up in Michigan, then somehow ended up back at Texas this year as an interim defensive coordinator. So now he's at San Jose State. Is this the kind of person that, you know, San Jose State, A, wanted to bring in? And, B, I mean, he is a pretty big name in college football, right? I think that was a big pickup.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the first choice. For the second straight year, Ron Carriger tried to hire John Sumrall, who is a co-defensive coordinator at Tulane, who was Carriger's defensive coordinator back at San Diego. That was the first guy he offered, and you know, he couldn't get him to leave New Orleans and come here. So he wasn't the first offer, but you know, Robinson, you know, he got back into coaching. He was out of coaching for 2 years, at least at any kind of major level. I think maybe he's helping out with some high school stuff, and you know, did well in his return to Texas. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, he also won two Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos. He was a D coordinator and for the two Elway Super Bowl wins, so I mean, he's got that NFL experience. And you know, he had interviewed for the Cal job a few weeks before when they went another way. And so, I mean, I think for San Jose State, it was a guy that, you know, he's from California. He you know, grew up here, went to college here, and so a chance for him to come home. And for San Jose State, it's a guy that, you know, they don't have. Most of the guys that Carriger brought on board last year had never really had a FBS job at that level. You know, first-time defensive coordinator, you know, first-time offensive coordinator. Basically, all these guys were pretty inexperienced. So now they bring an experienced hand in a defensive coordinator, which I think is good. You know, hopefully will help give them a nice little blend on their staff to blend his experience with, you know, some of the little useful enthusiasm of some of the younger coaches that they have there. We don't know a whole lot still about what his hire means. San Jose State hasn't even made it official yet. There's a lot of paperwork and all this kind of waiting periods that have to go through to make a hire official at the CSU level. And they seem to be able to you know, fast forward it when it's a head coach, but when it's a coordinator assistant coach job, they really don't do much to you know, get it going in a timely manner. So I don't even know come Friday if it'll when they start spring practice if it'll be official yet. He'll be out on the field, but you know, they may not even officially be able to acknowledge that he's the defensive coordinator. So we don't know what kind of a defense they're going to run, if they're going to go back to a 4-3, stick with the 3-4. So a lot of those are the kind of questions we're going to be asking on Friday to find out what his hiring means. But on paper, right now, I think it's a good choice. I mean, it's a good move for them to get an experienced hand in there, and hopefully, you know, their defense doesn't have to be great. If they can find somebody that can replace Fales and do a decent job and have a good offense, the defense doesn't have to be great. It just needs to be better than it was last year.
So I agree. It needs to be at least, I think, middle of a pack would be sufficient enough. But do you think maybe part of the reason they brought him on, because Robertson, Coach Carriger at UCLA, except that there's so little experience at the FBS level. Like, Kendrick was just a 1 year going around everywhere at the FBS as a coordinator. Carriger came from San Diego. Could you think part of it could be to maybe help out Carriger as well, since it is only a second year in FBS head coach? Robinson's been around everywhere. Is that part of the reason, maybe outside of his defensive expertise, to come to San Jose State to kind of tutor or mentor, kind of help Carriger elevate what he can do at the head coaching position?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, maybe even more than helping Carriger could be helping, you know, a lot, just basically that whole coaching staff. I mean, there's, you know, young guys like Dante Williams, their DB coach, Joe Staub, the linebacker, he was now the linebacker coach, you know, just helping out all those guys. Just, you know, those guys are in their first year, now second year coaching at the FBS level as a full-time head coach, and so those guys are going to be able to get a lot of experience from him. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird that you know, he's every job along the way, he's been a defensive coach, but he did spend 1 year as the offensive coordinator at UCLA during Carriger's senior year, so they got a chance to work together a little bit. But, you know, he was on staff at UCLA for all four Carriger's years, so sure, they have a little bit of a relationship there, and that helped. And, you know, I mean, he's a guy, he's 62, he's older, he's probably, you know, I know he said that he wants to coach for another 10 years, but, you know, he's probably in kind of that position. You would think he's made enough money in all this that he can just kind of pick his spots, and if this is a place that he likes and you know, has some relationship with Carriger and Carriger likes him, you know, seems like it should be a good fit. You know, who knows? I mean, if he turns around San Jose State's defense and they have a great year, you know, he may be jumping ship and heading somewhere else next year. But you know, they needed to get somebody hired as late as Kenwick left, and so you know, They were able to bring him in, and so I think at least for this year, it's a good match.
Excellent. So we come into the next portion of the show, which is
spring
football. Kind of, sort of back. Spring training, spring football starts for San Jose State next week, and I guess the main question is, who's going to replace David Fales?
Yeah,
or is there not a replacement?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to come down to, you know, the two guys that have been around. It's Blake Jurich and Joe Gray. I mean, Jurich is a fifth-year senior. Joe Gray is a fourth-year junior. I mean, these are guys that have been around the program. You know, Jurich was technically the backup last year, although, you know, he's kind of been their change-of-pace guy the last couple of years. They use him to run and do different kind of read option stuff, whereas even though Joe has been the third stringer, you've always kind of got the impression, and this has kind of been shown in a few games when they had some, especially in 2012 when they had some big leads and took Fales out in the fourth quarter, that Joe would usually be the guy that would come in and run the offense. And so I've always kind of got the impression, even though they had him listed three, that he was the guy that would be expected to step in after Fales. He's got a strong arm, I mean, probably stronger than Fales, just from what I've seen in practice and scrimmages and spring games and stuff the last few years. He's, you know, very strong arm. You know, he's mobile. He's a guy that was, you know, pretty highly touted when he came out of at a Dorsey, you know, several years ago and was brought into this program and thought he would have a bright future. And now I think it's his time. I mean, he's going to get a shot to win the starting job. You know, like I said, he's a strong arm, mobile, not necessarily a running quarterback, but he's a guy who can make some plays with his legs. And if he can develop the kind of accuracy that, you know, anywhere near what Fales had, yeah, I think they've got a shot. I mean, the offense that they ran last year really relied on, they like to take deep shots. And with a guy that's got a strong arm, if he can develop connection with some of these receivers, I mean, I think he's got the potential to, you know, to be even better than Fales was on those deep balls. And, you know, they could be in a position where they don't get much of a seat if he ends up being the guy and being the guy that they think he can be.
So if he's the guy, because they lose, well, Noel Grigsby barely played the injury, and then Chandler Jones is gone. They have Tyler Winston, who played very well last year as a freshman, Billy Freeman, the tight end. Who else is going to step up? Because if he can throw as well as you think he is, who's going to be maybe that third option throwing the ball, or receiving the ball, I should say.
Yeah, well, they've got Jabari Carr, who, you know, I mean, coming into, you know, if you go back to 2012, I mean, he was right there with Noel, and, you know, maybe a step below Noel, but him and Chandler Jones were right there as kind of the co-number two receivers. He actually was technically the fellow, the other starter on the other side opposite of Noel, and Chandler was usually kind of the number three guy. And he got, you know, he got hurt early last year. He dislocated his shoulder and just never was really able to work himself back into the rotation. But I mean, he's a guy who's over 100 career catches. You know, he's had some huge games for them, made some huge plays for them. So I mean, he's another good experienced receiver. And then I think it could come down to, you know, some of the young guys. You've got Michael Tate, who was you know, brought in last year's recruiting class and redshirted, and they like him. And then a couple of the true freshmen might have a chance to make an impact. Justin Holmes is the guy that most people look at it as the one that really could have a chance. He's, you know, a 6'2", you know, 180, 190 or so pound receiver. So he's got a pretty, you know, pretty good size. I'm told he's got a really long stride. He's not kind of like Winston. He's not super fast, but he's got such a long stride that once he gets going, he's deceptively fast, too. There were so many times where Winston, guys took the wrong angle on him because they don't see a ton of foot speed, but, you know, with his long stride, he just gets by him and they misjudge where they need to go. So I think he's a guy that could develop and be there for him. But at the very least, you know, they're going to have Winston, they're going to have Carr, they're going to have Freeman, are going to be their experienced guys. And, you know, there's a few other guys that have, you know, been around for a while and haven't really emerged, and it might have a shot, but I mean, Carr is going to be their third option for sure, and you know, you could see a guy like Michael Tate emerge, and among a couple other guys.
So, the one dimensionality of the San Jose State offense last year really ended up hurting the Spartans for a lot of the time. For, you know, when Bales couldn't exactly get, you know, a 300-yard game going, the ground offense wasn't working at all. So my question is, are the running backs going to have more of a role? Are they just in general, are they going to be better this year? Is that going to be more of a plan, or is it going to be still fairly one-dimensional?
Well, I would think you're going to see more running this year for a couple of reasons. One, you know, it took until about the fifth game of the year for them to figure out that Jared Lawson was their number one back. And he, once they got him in there, he started a year ago at this time, he wasn't even on the depth chart. He started summer camp probably fifth, you know, if it even extended that far. And, you know, a couple injuries and some other stuff happened, and all of a sudden he emerged. And he was a guy that, you know, after not really playing much the first three or four games, was a 1,000-yard all-purpose back at about 785 or so rushing and, you know, a little over 200 receiving. And, in, you know, for a while was giving them that threat. And they had, you know, he had some big games for him, especially early on. So I think you're going to look at year two with him. He was a, you know, walk-on player last year. He's been now put on scholarship. So they'll go into camp this year with him as their lead back. You know, they'll hopefully get Tyler Irvin back, who was supposed to be their number one back last year, but high ankle sprain on the second carry of the year and never played again. And so, he could end up getting moved around to maybe more of a slot receiver type. But, I mean, the big reason I think you'll see more running is, and this was something we could tell if you're around, being around the team a lot last year, is they had one type of offense that they ran with David Fales, and there was another offense that they ran with the other quarterbacks. And because when Carragher came in, he wanted to develop this West Coast balanced offense, under center, running, throwing, short, all that kind of stuff. But it took him about a week last year in spring ball to figure out that that wasn't going to work. And we have David Fales here, and we need to take advantage of it. And we're going to go back to shotgun, air it out, all that kind of stuff. But the other quarterbacks, when they got their work in, they were mostly working under Carragher's preferred West Coast system. So I think that's what we're going to see, at least at the start here of spring ball. They're going to be going back to that type of an offense. It's going to place a heavy emphasis on running. And so I think, if they get what they want out of that running game, that's what they're going to come out with early and often this year. And, Carragher showed last year that if the running game's not working and the passing game is, he's not afraid to abandon it. But at least initially, that's what they want to be. That's what they said last year they wanted to be. But Fales was too good for them to be too stubborn, and they had to kind of go away from it.
So one last quick thing on the offense, kind of a two-parter here. Their red zone offense was pretty terrible to be nice, I think, with their 50% on touchdowns. Was there an issue because I know he said to Fales, they want him in shotgun, he's a thrower, but he tried to run. Was there an issue of last season when they got close? I know it's harder to throw when they know you're going to throw when you're in shotgun at the 10 or 12 or 5-yard line. Were they not able to go under center with Fales? Like, what was the issue? Because I noticed a few other teams around the country, like Fresno State or BYU, they don't go under center, and so it's hard to run the ball, and they know you're pretty much going to pass. And Fales wasn't going to be a running quarterback to do, like, the quarterback draw. What I saw last year is that they didn't even try to go under center. Is that just an issue with Fales not doing it, or they just figured he's going to throw the ball and hopefully he's the best option?
Yeah, I think you kind of touch on a lot of it is that they, because they weren't, really didn't feel confident in running the ball, that they, they didn't do a ton of it down low. And so they felt okay with Fales under center, but, so much of their offense was big play, and that was what they relied on so much that I just don't think I don't know if they had enough stuff in the playbook for down there, down low. And, until Winston emerged, they didn't really have a bigger guy that they could, kind of throw the ball up to in the middle. I mean, they had Billy Freeman, but it took a while for Fales and Freeman to kind of develop a connection. And so, I mean, their red zone offense gradually improved down the stretch, especially after they started getting some production out of Jared Lawson. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it was just it really took probably about a half a season for, I think, Fales to get used to what they were running and for the coaches, honestly, to get used to Fales. And so I think that led to a lot of the early season struggles is that, they weren't calling the right plays. And, I know that was kind of a sore point. At one point after, one of the games, I asked Carragher, what's the issue with the red zone struggles? Is it play calling? Is it execution? And, he said, no, it's execution. And that kind of rubbed some people the wrong way that, was basically took the approach of we're calling the right plays and these guys aren't doing it. But to me, I think it was a combination of both. And as they got a little bit more, used to Fales and kind of figured him out more, they found a little bit more success. But a lot of it was just inability to run the ball. And, when you're able to kind of hone down on those receivers inside the 20, it's able to take a lot of stuff away, especially when they love to go for the home run, and you can't really go for the home run when you're, right there at the 10-yard line.
Exactly. And I hate, too, the execution thing annoys the crap out of me because I do some other work. I follow BYU down there, and they're always like, if we run the play, we're going to run. We're better than the other team regardless, but I don't think that's always the case. You got to have another option, some other – I get he's putting the blame on himself, but you got to have something besides, our play is going to be good no matter what. I thought that was weird. But with that, really, one last thing. So is your assumption with the West Coast offense, are they going to go under center a little bit more? So I think you at least have to try it a little bit to mix it up when you get third and one inside the red zone, fourth and short, those type of situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're going to see a lot more of this year. I mean, like I said, that had been the plan last year. But, quarterbacks like David Fales don't come around all that often, and even though he's a guy that from talking to his personal quarterbacks coach has said that he's very comfortable in the center, that he actually prefers it, whatever was going on with how they were running their offense, it wasn't working well when they were trying to do the West Coast stuff. And I mean, they didn't try it very long. Like I said, they did it for about a week in spring, and I talked to Fales at one point, and he's like, yeah, after a week we just looked at each other and said, nah, this isn't working. And so they went back to kind of, just launching it down the field and ended up, even that took some time to develop. But yeah, I mean, what Carragher wants to do is he wants to be a West Coast, under center, run the ball, all that. That's what he wants to be. He wants to, you know, he wants to have an offense that looks like Stanford. That, you know, or what the 49ers were before Kaepernick kind of changed the dynamic there, because he's always still referencing that, you know, we our offense, we want to look like the 49ers, which I don't think he realizes that their offense doesn't look quite like that anymore. But I mean, that's what he wants. He wants,
yeah.
You know, emphasis on tight ends and fullbacks, and that was another reason why they had to change last year, is the, you know, what he wanted to run so emphasized the tight end and the fullback play. Yet those were positions where they had nobody with any experience at all. And so you can't be a team that needs strong fullback and tight end play. And they got pretty decent tight end and fullback play from Billy Freeman and Shane Smith, but those were both two freshmen that were, you know, getting adjusted to that level. And so they, you know, it wasn't going to work to have an offense like that when you just didn't quite have the personnel. But this year, I think with a full year under their belt, that's what they're going to try to get back to.
You want to go to Stanford offense? You're going to fullbacks and tight ends. But if you want also to be like Stanford, why not go to Stanford defense? What about the defense this year, especially what we're going to see in spring practice? Hopefully, is the defense going to be consistent? Is it going to be consistently better? I mean, what are we looking for here?
Yeah, it's the biggest question mark out there. You know, they lost. You know, they're going to lose Keith Smith, second all-time leading tackler. Lose Bene Benwickri. I think he tied for career interception record. And at this point, we don't know what scheme they're running. You know, like I said before, we don't know if they're going to go to going to go back to the 4-3, going to stick with the 3-4. You know, they will get Vince Buhajer back. You know, he was the first team all WAC linebacker in 2012, inside linebacker for him. But he missed all of last year with a shoulder injury. He won't quite be ready to go even here at the start of spring. But you know, they'll have him back for the start of the year. They had in last year's 3-4 had moved him to an outside linebacker. If they go back to a 4-3, I would imagine he might move back into that Mike linebacker position. So, you know, he'll help the defense be better. They need a better year out of Travis Rasidi. He was another all whack guy in 2012 that just didn't have much of a year last year. You know, I think he had about, you know, 7.5, 8 sacks as a sophomore, and, you know, only maybe about 4 last year. He did, you know, didn't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You know, if they go back to a 4-3, maybe he's a better fit there. And if they're able to pair him up with a guy like Victor Vernon, the JUCO guy they signed, those guys could be a nice tandem. Plus, they had the outside linebacker play last year. They, you know, first year in that scheme, and they had, you know, one true freshman walk on starting there, and that, you know, they had other freshmen and you know, young guys playing there that were really kind of learning the position, learning the scheme. So I mean, I think there are some reasons that they should be better, just with having you know, a few guys with more experience. Christian Tago was a freshman at linebacker as well last year. But you know, with until we know more about what Greg Robinson plans to do with those guys and you know, how some of the guys have developed, it's hard to tell. I mean, they could be better. You hope they're better, but they could be worse. We really don't know.
Worse? That wouldn't be good if they're worse. That rush defense last year, wildly inconsistent.
The funny thing was, the defense throughout the whole conference wasn't very good. I mean, I don't remember where they ended up finishing, but most of the year, you know, San Jose State fans, after seeing a very good, you know, top 30 in the country defense the year before, were really frustrated with where San Jose State was at last year. But they spent most of the year pretty much in the middle of the pack of Mountain West defenses. So that's kind of why I said earlier that they don't need to be great. They just need to be a little bit better.
Yeah, it looks like out of here they finished 7th. The only defense you can say it's really good is Utah State, I think. And
yeah.
I just remember San Jose State, they'd have games. I get giving up a ton of yards to Navy, but they'd have a game under 100. Let's give up. I think they had 4 games over 300-plus yards on the ground. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So one last thing really quick, because we've had you a bit longer than I promised. So is there any player you think who's going to stand out, like any breakout player you think who expected to step up big in spring? I know practice hasn't started, but anybody you're – thinking about a quarterback or new receiver, anybody already mentioned, who could be one of the guys who kind of step up to, who could have a big year next season after the spring?
Well, I mean, the guys I'm most looking forward to seeing, obviously, you know, quarterback is going to be the biggest focus of spring just because that's the most important position. So, you know, I want to see how good Joe Gray looks. You know, can Blake Jurich, being the senior, can he steal away that job? That'll be interesting. And then a lot of it is just about seeing some of these guys, can they get back to where they were before? Jabari Carr didn't make much of an impact last year, part of it due to injury. Can he step up and be a number one, number two type receiver that you know, he was on the cusp of being in 2012? Can Rasidi get back to his 2012 form? Can Buhajer get back to his 2012 form? And then can Tyler Irvin get back to, you know, can he stay healthy, really? I mean, he's a guy who, you know, in limited playing time, is, you know, he has 3 kick returns for touchdowns in his career. He's a great kick returner. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy while playing the running back position. You know, do they switch him over to defense? Because he played cornerback as a freshman. Do they switch him to receiver? You know, he's a guy who I really want to see if he can finally stay healthy and be the dynamic player wherever, whatever position on the field they have to put him. You know, can he be that guy? Because he's a guy that, you know, you see, he's probably one of the fastest guys on the team. He's got a ton of talent. They just need to find the right place on the field where he can be a weapon and stay on the field. You know, running back hasn't treated him well the last 2 years, so I've heard whispers that he could be playing receiver this year, be that slot receiver kind of guy that they like to hand the ball off to and then throw the ball to. So he's another one of those guys I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Excellent, man. Thank you very much, everybody. We had Jimmy Durkin from San Jose Mercury News hanging out with us for about a good half hour. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us, and excellent, great stuff. And, hey, man, have a good time starting football this weekend.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Ah, excellent stuff. Correct, Christopher?
Of course. Especially getting excited for the 8-football now.
Heck yeah, man. He brought it. I told him, like, yeah, maybe 20 minutes. I look at the clock. We're approaching 35 minutes now. I'm like, well, wrap up the question. But he's a talker. Excellent info. It is interesting, the defensive thing, because Greg Robinson, he's technically not officially the defensive coordinator. They don't know what he's going to do. And looking at, like, I had my little research I'm doing, I think they bring back about 9 starters. So it's hard to say they can be worse than last year, because that was running game was pretty poor.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think Carragher is trying to go to a more Stanford-style offense.
It's difficult.
It is going to be difficult, especially since how San Jose State has been running their offense the last few years. This is going to be just completely, you know, complete identity change.
Yeah, because I think
the fact that if they're able to do this successfully, then I think they will be one of the more interesting forces to watch for this year's Mountain West.
It could be because it's a big. I remember reading last year that they wanted to just play to the strengths because they're not coaches aren't stupid. They got a guy like David Fells going to be drafted in NFL who top probably. Third to sixth rounder, so he'll be taken reasonably at that location. You're not going to put him on the center, hand the ball off, do the swing passes. You're going to get him downfield. They had injuries, and I meant to ask him, because Ron Carragher, they keep a tight lip on any injury. You never know what's going to happen with that team. It's just similar, basically Bill Belichick. He has a lower leg injury, and he's out for the year. Thanks, coach. Or, like, he has an injury above, like, below the waist. Like, okay, thanks. Nothing specific, but looking at I see what he's trying to do, because looking at the recruiting who they brought in, they bring in 5 offensive linemen, but there were no tight ends, and there's only, I guess, I don't know if this guy's a running back, really, 5'11", 225, that might be a fullback, perhaps, but they need to bring in that certain type of player, and they, I guess, are starting it with the 5 offensive linemen and that beefy running back, and quarterback I want to know about. I want to see if Travis Rasidi can come back, if any, except receiver Carr can have a big year, step it in to be a starter this technically last year, but step into official starting role. It'll be interesting, but I'm looking at quarterback and defense.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be a huge issue, but it is exactly like you said before. They don't need to have a good defense. They just need to have a better defense than what they had last year.
At least running the ball, because they, like I mentioned with their guest Jimmy there, like they had 400 yards against Navy, a couple other games over 300, but then they held two teams, I think, at least to under 100 yards rushing the ball. So it's like, got to have some sort of consistency doing that. Like they, well, Sacramento State doesn't count, but UNLV, you got Tim Cornette, they held them to 86 yards. They held San Diego State to a reasonable 174, Stanford to 197. So they had success. But then you see Wyoming, who has hardly any running game with Brandon Miller, over 330 yards. So, and then Nevada, who can be hit or miss. It's, I don't know, my super early prediction, I'm doing some stuff with the CFB Matrix. I'm putting them like maybe 4 wins for San Jose State. I don't see too many wins on their schedule. It's kind of going through who they have at home and everything in their non-conference. I don't see, not that we need to win-loss, but they go to Auburn, they go to Minnesota, they go to Navy. They have all these tough games in the Mountain West, at Fresno, at San Diego State, at Utah State, and Wyoming's not easy to play. So I don't see – I think they have a worse record than
No, much. Especially with the certain Craig Bowl now.
Yes, of course. And then we don't even know when they're playing those games either, because we just know where, like if it's home or road, but they get the easy games at home. Well, CSU's not easy, but not hard. You get Hawaii, Nevada, UNLV. We're not sure the quarterback there, but I don't know. I think – they're going to be struggling. I know it's super early, but I'm thinking 5 wins at the most and lower pack them out in the West just because the way the schedule sets up and a new defense, new quarterback. It could be interesting this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any additional comments tonight? You're not at the. I noticed there's an MLS soccer game in Las Vegas. Were you hoping to go there tonight?
It was one of the things I was looking to do, but I didn't get
so I dragged you into this
last minute. So, okay. Damn it. No, I'm wiped out. It's been a long day.
Okay. All right. So I think we're good to go for the evening. So I think, obviously, Chris hanging out with us tonight, as always, every week, Greek Podger and Twitter. Did you get my new favorite Twitter handle I sent to you? The
huh?
Fake BYU. Did you get my Twitter
the fake BYU honor code handle?
Yes,
it's fantastic.
I looked at it, I'm like, wait a minute, I look at the actual name. Yeah, I forget what it's called. I think it isn't just BYU, I forget what it is, but you probably follow it, don't you now?
No, I do not. I need to follow it.
You do not. It's fine. Just search for it. It's pretty funny. It's making me laugh one day. But yeah, one of the things, Jimmy Derrick came from the San Jose Mercury News. He's Twitter, of course. Who's not on Twitter? Jimmy_Durkin. That's where he's at. We're MWC Connection. MWCConnection.com. Spring football previews are coming your way. We will do some hoops because, like I said earlier on, you and me possibly in-person podcast in Las Vegas, maybe.
And we might, and I'll tell you, there are other people who are going to be, there are other people who might or might not be coming. I heard from a certain, I was on Twitter the other day. And I heard from a certain Keegan that he might come down if tickets are cheap enough.
From Reno.
Yeah, from Reno.
And I can say at minimum we'll have an in-person podcast because I'm going to be coming back from Southern California. We'll minimum meet up and do a show in person. Hopefully, we got into the game last year, so hopefully get into the tournament this year. So minimum, I will shake your hand for the first time in a couple weeks.
You mean not miss each other like we did at the airport like a few times ago or a couple years ago?
That was before we started podcasting, not before we interacted.
Yeah, no, it was while we were starting podcasting.
Oh, okay. I remember that time. You remember that? I was with my niece. I'd escort her because she was like 12 at the time, so I wasn't really messing with my phone or too much. But yeah,
we were in the Salt Lake airport at the same exact time tweeting each other, and we just completely missed each other.
I missed you like by hours. I'm like, oh, hey, you're there? Wait a minute. And like, I was already on my way out, and you were probably already on your flight by the time I got back to you. But we will have an in-person show. We might have some. We'll figure something out. We'll be there, give you some great coverage. As you know, we're getting some New Mexico hate to my email box.
Oh, from your miswriting today?
Again. I've had about 4 in the past couple weeks.
Dude, you focus more. Or
me?
Better yet, we need a consistent. Where's Mark?
We got good New Mexico writers. We just need, hey, we do this for fun. For the most part, we do this for very little in return, besides your gratification Twitter followers. But yeah,
unfortunately, I don't I don't edit every single article like I probably should. That's a little bit of my bad as well.
And I apologize today when I was put the incorrect conference record for UNLV to Mexico. My mistake. Twitter. Your article is riddled with errors. I'm like, I look at it, and they're a little dot 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 conference record. I'm like, okay, my mistake. I was looking at both, knew they had a 2-game lead. Really? That's all there was. They go riddled with errors. Do they know what riddled means? That usually means multiple. Am I correct?
Yes.
And this is our...
So maybe there were multiple errors and we just didn't catch them.
Yeah, stuff happens. I reread. I check for spelling. Get over it, folks. We're working on it. Stuff happens. But excellent show again tonight with Jimmy Durk. And we will try to do these once or twice a week. We'll see who else we can get on because spring football kind of snuck up on me. I'm like, February 21st. Pretty early. So check out our website, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Twitter, MWC Connection. And subscribe to iTunes for our show, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, we're anywhere. If you search the Mountainless Connection, you'll find something. So everybody have a great night, and hey, football's back again in Mountain West Conference Tournament in 1 month.